Devastated region. We are now joined from our Durban studios by Dr. Imtiaz Suleiman, the founder, director, and chairman of Gift of the Givers, a South African non-governmental organization which has been assisting Syrian refugees since 2012. Dr. Suleiman, good afternoon and nice to talk to you. As we are reporting there, a new deal is being negotiated to complete the evacuation of rebel-held areas in Syria's that is in Syria's east of Aleppo. Now, are you prepared for this new influx of refugees?
You can never be totally prepared for refugees or casualties inside Syria. But the fact that we're there for 4 years, we have two hospitals, we have a team of 200 medical and support personnel, we have feeding centers, we have a warehouse, and we have many houses where we can hold people and keep them to treat them. We also have refugee camps. So in a way, logistically, yes, we are prepared on the ground. We have the capacity to take in many more patients. In fact, we're expecting hundreds of casualties to come to the hospital. They've already given us advance notice from Aleppo. The first 12 arrived in the last 48 hours. They said a few more hundred are on the way. But of course, because the deal fell apart, they were stuck inside Aleppo. But in the next day, coming days, we're expecting a huge influx of those casualties, and we will manage them.
Mm-hmm. But where exactly have you set up those camps and hospitals, and what kind of assistance are you giving them?
We have two hospitals. The region is called Darkush. It's an area right next to Idlib region. It's so far, in inverted commas, a safer area for us. We run two of the largest hospitals in the entire North Syria because most of the other hospitals have been bombed. In fact, many attempts were made to bomb both our hospitals, and damage was sustained, slight damage on five or six occasions. But we survived that. The type of assistance we provide primarily is trauma assistance, taking in wounded and injured people. In addition to that, we have normal maternal care, meaning care for mothers, and pediatric care for children. We have primary health care. We even have dialysis facilities. We have ICUs, orthopedic surgeons, general surgeons, neurosurgeons, vascular surgeons, and a whole range of medical support. Besides the medical support, of course, as I mentioned, we've put up the tents and the food and the water, the blankets. And right now, besides the fighting itself, the biggest problem is the elements. It's -6 degrees, and many people are outside in cold weather. They're going to need a huge amount of support besides medical services.
Now, you've been working in this region now since 2012, but what are the major challenges of this kind of operation, and do you get enough support from all the belligerents in this conflict?
Well, the problem is there's a flux situation all the time. In the hospital that we set up, when we set it up in 2012, there were only civilians in the area and maybe some elements of the Free Syrian Army. The Free Syrian Army at that point were farmers, agriculturalists, people who are not real fighters. At some point, the situation changed. ISIS moved into the area 6 kilometers away from the hospital. Then they moved on, and then another group came in the area. And with the continuing change of groups, we have to keep a neutral stance with all the groups. And we have to make sure that no group invades the hospital, takes the hospital, or tries to make it its own and to get political gain. We've made it very clear that this is a humanitarian facility. It will treat combatants and non-combatants. It will treat any human from any group, from any society. And in fact, indeed, we've treated people from all groups and all factions in that hospital, and that's why it's respected. The second challenge is to avoid being bombed. In May last year, a bomb hit close to the hospital and blew up our windows and doors. And that's why it necessitated us putting a second hospital inside Darkush, but near the Turkish border. A few months ago, that hospital was also, an attempt was made to bomb that hospital. So that's a huge challenge. The third challenge, can you retain medical personnel? Many medical personnel feel it's not safe. Well, it's obvious it's not safe for them or their families to be inside Syria. They need to move out. But we have been very fortunate in that our teams are committed to stay there. And in fact, when other medical personnel come from other bombed hospitals, they join our hospital. And they said, if the bombs fall, we will die with the patients in this hospital. We will not move. The fourth challenge, of course, is to get as much resources as fast as possible. Yes, the support from South Africa has been brilliant. People have been supporting it. We recently have an international organization that has arrived in Turkey. They're now supporting us with $75,000 a month. And just last night, from UK, an organization called and said they've seen our hospital, they've heard about our hospital. They got several containers of medical equipment and huge amounts of cash, which they want to hand over to us and support our hospital. So yes, we have support, but we need substantially more.
Now, let's talk about those volunteers. You've just been explaining now the risks that they're exposed to. But are they all South Africans, though?
No, no. South Africans, you know, foreigners are not allowed anymore. The border is closed. South Africans went in 2013 when we initially opened the hospital. At that point, there were only about 8 or 9 Syrian medical staff in that hospital. Others were agriculture students. They are trained, and we were also transferring skills to them. But it was totally inadequate. South Africans can't survive that condition. You need somebody full-time. And it's best to make Syrians look after their own people. And indeed, they feel empowered to look after their own people. So these 200 personnel I'm speaking about are 100% Syrian. We've asked even now, in this crisis, do you need us? They said, look, the border is closed. It's very difficult to take foreigners in. We will manage, and medical personnel from other hospitals that are bombed will come and support us. So because they've asked to be left independent, we are respecting that. It gives them dignity. They feel empowered, and they feel they're really serving their people themselves.
And finally, Dr. Suleiman, you have been talking about your plans to build other facilities and expand the operation that you are having now and the limited resources that you have. So how can those who want to help, how can they assist you?
Well, they can visit our, unfortunately, our offices are closed, but they can visit our website, www.giftofthegivers.org. Or they can call me personally. My phone is open 24 hours, 083-236-4029. If you don't get through, leave a text message. All I can say is, even if you cannot give something, these are human in distress. Please, let's pray for them, because we haven't spoke about the difficulties, but the difficulties that people are going is really horrendous. That needs a program on its own.
Well, we wish you all the best of luck, and thank you so much for your time. That there was Dr. Imtiaz Suleiman, the founder, director, and chairman of Gift of the Givers. We'll take a short break now, but don't go away. I will return shortly with your news headlines and more.